This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to Blog on the Pod, where we ask our team of experts to expand on an Elgin blog that they've written recently. I'm Frances Watson, and this week I'm delighted to be joined by Lars Krekel, global equity strategist, who's written on the subject of PMIs, better known perhaps as purchasing manager indices and their relationship to stock markets. In simple terms, Lars, what are PMIs and does the stock market set much store by them?
Yeah, you've already given the kind of definition of the acronym purchasing manager indices. They're essentially a measure of business sentiment. So there's a monthly survey typically done asking purchasing managers in big companies about the current and future business conditions. And it's simply asked, are they improving? Are they staying the same? Are they getting better? And it's, you know, of course, purchasing managers sit deep within the company. So they give they're perfectly placed to know how things are going, obviously. And also, I guess they can give a bit more of a neutral, an anonymous view of that answer to that question than maybe a CEO might or the investor relations department might. So I think from that perspective, they give interesting insights into how companies are doing and how they think things are likely to be going soon. And there are also some of the indicators. I mean, there are lots of macro indicators that we get on Bloomberg on a daily basis, but a lot of them don't move the markets that much. And purchasing managers indices are in that small group of indicators that the market watches very closely, and particularly equities pay very close attention to, and they do move markets because they also have forward-looking properties in to some degree. So if you get data like GDP, it tends to be about the last quarter. It's already quite out of date by the time it's reported. And this is something that has a little bit more forward-looking properties than many other indicators do.
Okay, I get that. You say in your blog, Lars, that you think possibly we're reaching peak PMI. What happens then to equities when we are near to peaks?
Well, I think saying that we're getting close to peak PMI is probably not that difficult to do in itself because different ways you can think about that, just looking through history, we're close to the all-time highs historically anyway. There were some periods where the PMIs were a little bit higher. The ISM in the US is one example that we often look at there. But the last time it was as high as it is now, it was before I was born, quite some time ago. That's one way of thinking about it. And the other one is just the nature of asking those questions. Are things getting better than last month, worse than last month, or the same? If things are already very good, you know, after a long series of very positive months, it's difficult to get even better and even better. So there is a natural sort of upper limit to these kinds of questions. With some of these numbers above 60 at the moment, that's pretty much as good as it typically gets. So you should see them kind of top out. So it's not that difficult a prediction, I think, generally to make. What happens to equities was your other question then. I think it's tempting to think that because equities did so well as PMIs went up from the troughs after the pandemic, surely when PMIs start to turn around, equities will suffer somewhat, but that's not typically what's happened in the past, what we have seen play out historically. Equities clearly like it best when growth accelerates. And in that sense, PMIs moving from the low point back to 50 and then above 50 is the best phase for mm-hmm. equity markets.
That's kind of
Are you coming out of the recession? Maybe you're starting to see the first green shoots. That's when PMIs start to improve a little bit. And then when they go above 50 to the peak, that's kind of when the economic recovery takes hold and things start to accelerate. So that's definitely the best phase for returns historically for equities. But as PMIs peak, it's more a sign of the economic cycle maturing rather than that we're heading straight back into another recession. And the recession is the event that typically is associated with bear markets and very negative equity returns. So PMIs kind of topping out at 60, moving into the high 50s, as our economists currently expect, let's say over the next 6 months, That is, yeah, I would characterize that as a maturing economy, and a period that historically has been associated with average-ish, fairly normal, but positive equity returns. So that's kind of the picture we have in the back of our minds for the market.
It's interesting though, because you've mentioned the ISM index, and I'm really pleased that you have, because this week we did see from that some mounting inflationary pressures. And I have to say, what surprises me, and rightly or wrongly, equities seem to take all this talk of inflation in their stride. Bond markets, way less so, as we know, but equities don't seem to be at all worried by mounting inflationary pressures. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, not at all worried is probably stretching it a little bit.
Too but strong.
I think the nervousness of equity investors around rising inflation, should be a lot lower as well. I think from an equity perspective, you do have some natural protection against rising inflation, right? It also, if prices go up, that means earnings go up, because the prices that companies are selling products at go up. So that in itself is a benefit. And if you look at it historically, at low inflation rates, if inflation starts to rise from low starting point, that's not typically particularly bad for equities. It's, if anything, it's a slightly positive environment. If things then start to overshoot into hyperinflation, it's a very different story. But I guess we're still quite a long way away from that today.
So gently rising inflation is okay, on the premise that they can pass on, of course, rising prices, these companies.
Definitely. I mean, that becomes more of an interesting topic maybe within equities. Some companies will be able to do that better than other companies. But for the asset class as a whole, gently rising inflation from a low starting point is not normally a negative environment.
Drilling down at a stock level, when you have these rising PMIs or even plateauing PMIs, some groups of stocks will benefit over others. So just tell us about which stocks do you think will, favour that kind of environment, this kind of environment we're in.
Yeah, so like I said, for the equity market as a whole, peak in PMIs is not that problematic. But I think it is typically a time where you get some rotation within equities. And in terms of groups of stocks that are affected by that, I think I would call them cyclicals. So companies that are particularly exposed to the economic cycle, it's not surprising that they benefit the most, almost by definition, from the accelerating economy, things improving. They're most geared into that. So as that acceleration loses a little bit of steam and the momentum in economic growth slows down a little bit, they also tend to be most affected by that. And especially, of course, as PMIs rise, optimism goes up, and often people are particularly optimistic about the outlook for these cyclical companies. So what we've typically seen is that what matters to cyclicals is not so much the level of the PMI, but it's the momentum of PMI, so the change in the PMIs. And that is something that is starting to ebb off now and should ultimately turn somewhat negative later over the course of this year. And that starts to create some headwinds for this part of the equity market, cyclicals that have been leading some of the recovery of the last few months. So it's something that we're starting to get a little bit more cautious about, especially.
So does that mean then that the air is getting a bit thinner for the cyclical?
Yes, the air is getting a little bit thinner, and at a time when there is a great amount of optimism and bullishness for that part of the market, if you look at surveys or evaluations, for example.
Okay, now you've compared in the blog this period we're in now to the bull market of 2003-07. So are you saying then, I mean, how does that actually square with what you've just said, Lars, which, basically with the air getting a bit thinner for cyclicals? How are you saying, though, that we're still in a bull market phase right now?
Yes, for the broader markets, yes. I think 2003-07 is not maybe not a perfect example for the entire macro environment, but I think it is a good precedent to look at how equities behave after PMIs peak. Well, partly because it's not that long ago, so we might have slightly better recollection of what happened at the time. But also, it's a similar situation that 2003, we came out of the tech bubble recession. Mm-hmm. PMIs and the economy started to recover into early 2004. PMIs peaked then, early summer. And then, they kind of drifted lower for the remainder of the economic cycle, for multiple years. And if you think back to that period, say from 2004 onwards, it was not a particularly bad time for equities. If anything, it was a fairly strong bull market. So that part of it, I think, is a good thing to have in the back of your mind, that maybe economic momentum doesn't keep accelerating forever, but that maturing phase of the economic cycle is one that equities can live very well with. And I think that's one that is probably similar to what we would expect, certainly over the next few quarters, that momentum of the economy starts to slow down somewhat, but growth stays significantly positive. So I would expect the bull market to continue for some time.
Okay. And of course, we won't mention from 2008 onwards, but for some of the cynics out there, Lars, a lot of people saying equity valuations are becoming unsustainable. I mean, you clearly don't agree with that, but can you see where they're coming from?
Yes. I mean, when it comes to equity valuations, I would say that in an absolute sense, equity valuations are on the expensive side. So that in all regions across almost all multiples, valuations are above historical average levels. Mm-hmm. I think there are a couple of caveats worth mentioning. One, a lot of that comes from the US. So US equities on all multiples really are close to historic extremes, mm-hmm. But that's not so much the case in the rest of the world. Now, obviously the US is more than 50% of the global indices, so you can't just ignore it.
Dominates, yeah.
But just to qualify that a little bit. And then the other thing I would say, particularly if we talk about PMIs and valuations, we're really talking about very different time horizons here. The discussion around PMIs is we're talking about the next 6 to 12 months of developments, perhaps. So it's very tactical, short-term. Whereas when we discuss valuations, the impact that valuations have on the returns you might get from equities are really on the multi-year horizon, so 5 to 10 years or something like that. And I think there you have to say that, with equity valuations where they are, you would expect below historical average returns over that longer period. But that is almost independent of what happens in the next few months. So very different time horizons that we're talking about there. So one can be concerned about valuations, yet optimistic about the short term.
Okay, all right. Well, short term, we just wait and see. But it sounds as though short term you are optimistic, and that's what we like to hear. So, Lars, many thanks for joining LGM Talks, and great to hear your views. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording, and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions, and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, lgm.com.